Hey, what's going on, everybody? I'm Angelo, I'm your host, and welcome to another episode of the Just Effort Podcast, where we're exploring and redefining the meaning of success and greatness. Whether it's me sharing a story from my law enforcement career, or it's me interviewing people doing some great things in the world, this is what the whole Just Effort movement is about. Happy Friday, enjoy the episode. I have a very good friend of mine, Keikua Kobashigawa. Did I say that right?
You did.
Pretty good, huh?
Yep.
All right. Awesome. So Keikua has been a really, really great friend of mine. And before I dive deep into her story, I want to tell you guys a little bit of what she's meant to me as a person. Just before we started recording, I told her I was going to do the intro a little bit later, but I wanted to surprise her and make sure we catch that powerful effect now, especially for you guys that are going to watch this on video. So Keikua has been one of my closest friends, and we've really just gotten to know each other deeply the last year. She's got so much wisdom that every time I'm on the phone with her or we're having like some kind of conversation, it's one of those like I gotta make sure I'm not like multitasking. I gotta sit down and have my phone ready for notes because she just offers so much valuable insight, and she does it very craftfully and masterfully. And if you guys can't tell already, she's from Hawaii, so all of her analogies and her stories always has to do with like some ocean or beach or turtle or something like really freaking cool and island like. And I'm just so excited to finally have you here on the show. This is like months and months and months in the making, and we finally got our schedule locked in together today, and it just so happened it worked out. So we're excited to bring her here today. Keikua, how are you today?
I'm good. You built me up so much, like, got me in the feels.
I try. But I meant 100%, and people will see, people are gonna see the type of energy you bring to the table, the type of person you are, and the type of blessing that comes out of your mouth. That's one of the things that it's so hard for me sometimes to formulate words for, because there's very few people, like a handful of people, that I can really say get me at that level.
I feel the same. You know, I feel the same. I love our conversations. They're always so, like, they're meaningful. They're not always deep, but they always carry so much meaning, and it is rare. It is rare to find that. So yeah. I appreciate that intro, and I appreciate your friendship too.
Of course. So let's get right into it, because I want to respect your time, and there's so many things that I even warned you. I was like, there's a lot of stuff I want to talk about today, but I don't want to take the shine away from me. Why don't you go ahead and tell people a little bit of, you know, who you are, where you're from. Obviously, we kind of gave the Hawaii shout out, but tell people, you know, a little bit about yourself.
I am from Hawaii. We've been back home in Hawaii for about 20 years now, but prior to that, I was an Army brat. So when somebody asks me where I am, most often I say I'm from Earth, because we moved around a lot. Born in Hawaii, but we traveled. We lived in Europe. We lived on the East Coast and the South. And then we came back home to Hawaii. And we were here for about 10 years. I was married. And how I got to the life that I have now honestly started with, you know, a giant tragedy. Most people would say that divorce is a big tragedy, a big trauma, and it was absolutely difficult, but it was the catalyst that took me to where I am now. And where I am now is exactly where I belong. So I think it's a great thing. I have two small children at the time that I got divorced, and I raised them. You know, it's not easy, but it was really fulfilling. I loved that. And they were the driving factor in me taking care of myself and being healthy for a long time, which is really common to most women. We live our lives to serve others, and, you know, we can't necessarily help that because there's a hormonal drive. That's biologically, it's what we're meant to do. And that's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. But the trouble that comes out of that is that we often leave ourselves off the list completely. If you ask a mom, typically, who are the people that you love, they're usually not on the list. So my journey over the last, you know, 10 years I've been in the fitness industry like you, it really was a gateway drug, so to speak. Fitness was the precursor to the personal development that I needed to learn how to be a person that I loved, to learn how to put myself on the list. And then that drew me naturally into wanting that for other moms, wanting it for other women in general, but specifically for moms, because that's who I identify with. That's who I am. And I know now that that's my calling in life. I went through all the things that I went through. I struggled through the struggles that I had, and the path that I belonged on took me to where I am now, which is to help other women figure out the subconscious bullshit that's going on in their heads so that they can defeat it, so they can learn how to love themselves, so they can change the way they perceive themselves and lead their lives more fully, stand more completely inside of their skin. And I know you know this one, learn how to fill up their own cup, because it should be full at all times. It won't always be full, but we should always be trying to fill it up. And that's my goal. I just want to teach women how to be happy inside of their skin.
Damn. I'm just like, whoo. I was like, good Lord. I'm like fanning myself, because everyone probably just paused real quick. Like, whoa, what the heck? Like, turned their volume a little bit higher because they're probably tired of hearing my voice. But you just went in, and I love it. There's so many different aspects that I want to explore of what you just said. And I am glad what you just mentioned. Okay, cool. What you just mentioned about filling up your cup is exactly something that I've told you I need to get you on the show so you can talk about that, because I've referenced that on the podcast just myself. I've referenced that at least over a dozen times. And people are like, oh, where'd you get that? I was like, I'm telling you, she's going to get on the show. And we're just like, oh, blah, 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 like back and forth. And today we're just like, hey, are you free? I'm free. Let's make it happen. And it happened. Like, as we recorded this, literally we were on the phone this afternoon. Like, hey, are you free? And like, is it possible? Yeah. All right. Let's do it. So first off, thank you so much for sharing that. Okay. Few things that you said. When you said, when women make a list of the people, the things they love and they care about, they are usually not on that list. Okay. That's so awesome, because that ties into exactly why you and I, you know, thrive in the fitness industry, because we understand this concept, and you take it to another level when you're like, okay, the cup, the infamous cup I've been referencing for so many damn episodes. And now they're going to finally hear the clear explanation, rather, you know, compared to my ghetto, like, it's fill your cup and you feel better, right? Like, my watered down simplification of it, they're going to get to hear it from you. So let's rewind a little bit and let's talk about that list. Why is that? Why is it that women don't prioritize themselves? And it's not just women, right? A lot of people, you and I see it in both men and women, but more specifically, because you're relating with women, what's the mindset behind that, you think?
I think the mindset, it just comes from, you know, our natural urge, our biology, our hormones are to take care, right? Like, if we go back a bajillion years to caveman times, the woman's role is to raise the babies, to take care of the home, to make sure that all the nurturing is done. That is what our biology leads us to do. So now we've evolved societally and culturally beyond that, but all of that biology is still there. The hormones are still there. And, you know, that's really essential when you have kids, because if you're not connected to them, if you're not drawn to them, if you're not connected to and drawn to your mate, you won't want to take care of them. And, you know, the biology of that, the reality is our species would suffer. Our species would die off if one of us weren't compelled to raise the next generation. So that's all still going on inside. On top of that, we have kind of societal conditioning that, you know, over these thousands of years, women are designed to be in the home, and that's what we're meant to do. And we're still fighting against that stereotype. There's nothing wrong with it, but the women who want to come beyond that, I don't want to say above it, because, you know, one's not better than the other, but women who want to go beyond that stereotype are fighting against that. Women belong in the home. You know, women should be taking care of this. Women should be taking care of that. And so in addition to the fact that our hormones make us want to take care, we do have that societal conditioning that we should be taking care, you know, that we should fulfill the woman's role. And generations and generations and generations, that's just who we are. And we forget, we just forget really simply that we're a part of that family too. I see my children and my job is to take care of the child. I've got to feed my child. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. My, you know, mate comes home from whatever it is, farming, working, etc. Now I feel like I need to take care of my mate. And it just so happens that throughout the course of taking care and taking care and taking care, we get forgotten. Not intentionally, but, you know, if you are focused on one thing, you will often forget a lot of other things. And we just tend to be one of those things that we forget. And it's so easy once that little bit of remembrance is lost, it's so easy to just keep going down the road, and we deplete ourselves in service of others. Even if we love everyone that we care for, and even if we would never change 1 ounce of caring for them, we still need to remember to take care of us, and not so that we can take care of others, but before we take care of others. Because one of the things that we do is we role model for our children how to be adults themselves, right? In addition to telling them all the things they got to do, teaching them how to brush their teeth and feed themselves and wipe their own butts, we've got to teach them, and we've got to role model emotional care as well, how to adult for ourselves. And if we never do that, we are unconsciously raising the next generation to also not taking care of themselves. So every generation of our girls, if we don't model caring for ourselves, not only our girls, but we're modeling for them how to deplete ourselves in service for others. We're modeling for them that we are only as valuable as how we serve another person. And then generation by generation, we become very codependent, when what we should be aiming for is interdependence. Similar, but not the same thing. Codependence is where you can't stand by yourself. Mm. What we want to model for them, or at least what I want to model for my kids, is independence, where you can stand on your own, and then interdependence, where you do lean on someone else, but it's by choice, not by need. Because you have enough within yourself that you now have extra that you can share and give to another person. And that's what you want to give to your kids. That's what you want to give to your spouse, your mate. You want to give them your excess, your abundance, and not your emptiness.
That leads perfectly into even what you said. There's so many things like that are kind of going through my mind, but I love the natural flow of this conversation, because it goes right into the whole idea of emptiness and this, the cup. And to give everyone a little bit of backstory, especially for the newer listeners that have not heard me reference this recently, but there's this thing in personal development, right? Like, you can't pour from an empty cup. I like to say you can't give what you don't have, right? So if at the beginning of the day we have a full cup, towards the end of the day, because of work, because of, you know, kids, family, all these different things that are going on throughout the day, you're putting your cup into all these different other cups, into all these different other funnels. And at the end of the day, usually there's not enough left for us. And then it becomes a cycle of, like, I fill my cup so that tomorrow I can fill up everybody else's. And then the next day I fill my cup so that the next day I can fill up everybody else's. And it's a cycle of always an empty cup, always not enough for me at the end of the day, always everybody else before myself. And Keikua and I were having this conversation. She's like, why can't we give the overflow? Why do we have to fill our cup for the sake of filling up our cup? And that's exactly where you led in this conversation. Mm-hmm. Can you explain a little bit of that, like that overflow idea?
It came out of a conversation that I had with someone else. Just a little plug for meatheads. If you don't lift, it does a lot for your mind. We actually have a lot of deep conversations when we lift, my girlfriend and I. And we were having a conversation about, you know, self-care. Mm-hmm. And she, very offhand comment, she said, you know, if your cup is only getting poured into so that it gets dumped out somewhere else, you don't have a cup. You have a funnel. or a sieve or a colander, or, you know, you're not actually holding the water. You're just a vessel. You're just a means to someone else's end. And that was a big light bulb moment for me, because I really thought about that. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're right. My cup never gets full if I'm only putting into it so that I can dump it out.
Mm.
So what we should be giving to others, right, is the overflow. You should never be emptying your cup. You should never be depleting yourself in service of others. And it's such a huge mind-blowing concept to think, I get to be full. I get to take care of me. And it's really sad that that's such a big concept, because we're so conditioned out of it. But really, the people that you feel the most love from, they're people that have abundance of love for themselves, right? If you think back to your lives, aside from our moms, the people that we felt the most love from were the people that had the most love to give. And they didn't get there by damaging themselves. They got there because, for whatever circumstances were in their lives, they learned how to love themselves. And so they were able to impart that on us. And if we can go back and look at them as an example and take from that, we could see, well, they had an abundance of love. That's why there was enough to give me, right? They didn't burn their candle all the way down. Their candle stayed lit, and they lit mine. And that's the way we should look at all of it. Like, if I take care of myself really well, I have such an abundance of love and care and generosity that I can share it all over the place. If we look at this like the exact same thing, we put it in a different context. If you have a plate of food and the plate of food you have is not enough to feed you, you would never go and dump it all over the place, giving it to people that you don't even know. All of that food. But if you have enough and you know that little bit right there, that's extra. I don't need that. I can be healthy and sustained without that. So I'll share that because I have an abundance. If we put the exact same concept into a different context, it makes so much sense. I wouldn't starve myself to feed you. But we do that emotionally. We do that socially. We do that mentally. And we don't even realize it. So what I like to teach my clients is, you fill you up, because emptiness is not what you want to give to someone. You fill you up because when you have that abundance, when you have that overflow, you can't stand under a waterfall that isn't falling. You want to be able to give them that waterfall. Damn. There's your island.
I hope you guys heard that. I told you, it's just natural. She couldn't help herself. She couldn't help it. She just had to. I love that. I'm putting myself in the viewer or the listener's position. And in my head, you know, we're always our worst critic, right? Like, Angelo, okay, cool. I love what you guys are talking about. Oh, it sounds great to me. It can feel good. It's some cool. I get the concept. But I think the red button we got to push right now, and the question we got to attack head on, is how? Because everyone's probably like, yeah, this all sounds great, but I have one kid, two kid, three kid, four or five. This is all great, but I only make X amount of money. You know, there's the but. So let's go there. How is that? How do we give from a full cup? How do we fill our cup, first of all?
If you're first coming into learning to take care of yourself, it's going to be slow. It's going to come in increments. It's not absolute. You certainly can't, you know, cut your kids off so that you can go feel good and then come back to them later. It doesn't work that way. And I would never suggest that, you know, for a parent who's never known how to take care of themselves. It's going to come in increments. You'll have to fill your cup up slowly, because yes, you do have to continue to take care of your kids. But the first step is going to find what fills you up. The, you know, self-care stereotype is, I'm going to get my nails done. I'm going to get my hair did. Right. And that might make you feel great, but that's not for everybody. So you've got to figure out what's going to do it for you. Maybe it's you close the bedroom door and you listen to music for 10, 15 minutes and you dance around before you go out and deal with your kids. Maybe it's a 10-minute nap Maybe it's you read for a little bit. Maybe you just go outside and breathe some fresh air. You cannot overstate what being outside can do for you. Just standing in the grass, even for 10, 15 minutes, can alter the state of mind that you're in. Little increments will still fill up the cup. Baby steps still move forward. So if you have never thought about taking care of yourself in the past, you don't have to fill the cup all at once. It's going to come in little increments. You have to learn. There's a learning curve, and you have to take care of your kids at the same time. So the first step, I'm going to just repeat it. Find out what fills you up. Find what you love. Find what makes you feel good on the inside, not just the outside, but what really nourishes you. And then find ways to build that into your day, your week, your month. Make sure that you are consistent with it, because you can't just fill the cup all the way up one time. You know, you can't have one girl's night out and then the rest of the year is I'm only mom and I don't do anything else but mom. You've got to have little consistent everyday habits that will give you a little bit of nourishment. The same way you got to eat your food every day. You got to brush your teeth every day. You got to take a shower every day, because hygiene falls off if you don't do it every day. Self-care is just like hygiene for the inside. You got to do it on a regular basis.
Okay, so you obviously are very confident in this, and you know, you may not call yourself, but I call you an expert in this topic of on this topic of self-care. Before you built up this confidence, what were some things that you were struggling with when it came to your own personal self-care and balancing your title and role as a mom and as a wife, or as a, you know, as a leader in your coaching business and even at the gym? How did you balance all that? What was your biggest, I guess, hurdle as you were kind of learning and mastering this process?
I think one of the biggest hurdles that I overcame, and it overcame by just shifting the way I thought about it, was, you know, we have this concept that once you have kids, you can't do things for yourself, right? Your kids are your anchor. Well, now you can't do this because you got kids. Now you can't do that because you got kids, right? There's all this can't. And like, even just disregarding what that verbiage will do to your kids if they hear it, if they feel it, why can't you? Your kids are not an anchor. They're a part of your crew. Your self-care can and often does involve other people, and your kids can be some of those people. So one of the things that I discovered for myself was, hey, my kids can come with me to go hiking. My kids can come to the beach with me. I don't feel any less fulfilled in hiking and going to the beach and swimming if my kids are there. So there's no reason why they can't be a part of that self-care. They won't be a part of every self-care practice, but they also don't have to not be a part of it. Sometimes self-care is, I'm going to call Angelo and be like, dude, I don't, you know, I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time. That means my self-care involved you. So, you know, it can involve your kids. I think that's the biggest hurdle for parents to get over, is self-care doesn't mean to exclude anyone else. It doesn't mean to exclude your children. It just means finding the thing that fills you up. And they might be a part of that.
And it's about getting creative too. Yeah. Right? Like, you can't just, it just can't be like massages and getting your hair done and your nails done, right? Maybe some, for some people it may be, and that's great. But for, I think a lot of other people, they're just like, I don't feel like getting a massage. I mean, especially now with COVID, right? Like that, personally, that was one of my things. I love getting massages. That was my form of self-care. And that was, I can't do that right now, but you know, you got to get creative. You got to do something else. So what were some things that you were like, what were some creative ways that you expressed and explored your self-care that maybe someone else can try, that, you know, like, hey, I never thought of that.
I would say I didn't explore self-care. I fell into it. It was through practices that I realized I was doing it. It was a thing I realized in hindsight. Fitness was a big thing for me because it was fun. I found fitness that was fun. So there was Zumba, there was total body classes, there were different forms of yoga. And I was just really open to trying a lot of things. And my kids were a part of that. When I started teaching classes, sometimes I would have my kids in class. They would sit quietly in the back. So I didn't realize it at the time, but I was modeling for them self-care in that moment, because not only was I going to work, but I was doing things that they knew I felt better after my class. They knew that when I was done teaching class, I was in a great mood. They knew if they asked me for things after class, they were a lot more likely to get it than if they asked me before class.
Smart. Right?
They're smart. They're intuitive. They catch those things. So I really learned later on that I had been doing self-care. In the beginning, I didn't know that that's what I was doing. All I knew was that was fun and I did it. And my kids came along with it. And I allowed other people, if their kids were, you know, able to behave, bring your kid in, because I don't see a problem with that. So there were kids that would do different forms of yoga. They were allowed to come into my Zumba class. You know, as long as there was no safety issue, bring them in because they should be a part of it, was the way I saw it. So I was able to get that without even realizing it. Later on, I realized I've been doing these things because they feel good. This is what keeps me healthy. This is what keeps me mentally balanced. This is what keeps me happy and functional as a mom. This is what makes me able to love my kids more. This is my self-care. Mm-hmm. So that those little realizations along the way were how I learned to guide another woman, because I knew what worked for me and I knew what worked for the people that I was teaching, that I was coaching, that I was training. I saw that this did the same thing across the board. Anyone who was able to find the joy inside of it was getting self-care out of it. And it's, you know, it's not for everyone. I wish it was. I wish fitness did the same thing for everyone and everybody could find the same salvation that I do in it. But that's just not the truth. And that's okay. Your salvation is somewhere. And recognizing that it won't be the same every day is a really, really big key. So on some days, getting in the gym and, you know, pushing the heaviest amount of weight I can is all I need. On some days, that's not enough. On some days, that doesn't do it for me. On some days, I need to rest more. Some days, you know, my self-care is going to be, you guys go ahead and feed yourselves. I'm going to chill. I'm going to put some music on. My headphones will be in. Just leave me alone for like 20 minutes, okay? Okay, mom, we'll be back. Sometimes it's little things. Oftentimes it's little things.
Right. Oh, man. It's usually those things that are the most easily overlooked. Small things that bring us joy and fulfillment that fill up our cups. So I want to pivot really quick and go into a little bit more on the fitness aspect of things. You know, people on Instagram know you as Fit Mommy, Happy Mommy, mm-hmm. Right? You want to tell us a little bit about, you know, your Meathead Mondays and what you got going on? Because I love what you're doing with the fitness industry as well, because you're sharing truth, which is more than just gain muscle, burn fat, lose weight, look good, which is what everybody else is selling nowadays. And it's like, I mean, it's as old as time, right? That's what everyone in the fitness industry was made, build muscle, lose fat. And everyone's doing that. How I found my success, and I see you're doing the same thing, is you're going deeper. But it starts with fitness.
It does start with fitness, or at least it did for me. Yes. Like I mentioned earlier, it was very much a gateway drug, right? In the good feelings that I got out of that, there was growth that I, of course, again, I saw it all in hindsight. I can look back now and go, oh, I see it now. In the moment, I didn't. I just knew that I was following what felt good, but it was a trigger to other things. And as I would train other women, you know, I would pull in the aspects of personal development that I had learned to help them get to that same aha moment of realizing I've got potential here. Mm. And when you realize you have potential in one thing, it opens your mind to what other potential do I have? And I'm not realizing it.
Mm.
So Meathead Monday was, gosh, I don't know when I started that. That was a couple of years ago. You know, there was a time I was just, it was a lifting video. Cause if you scroll far back enough, Fit Mommy, Happy Mommy is nothing but like food, funny, and fitness. There's a lot of lifting videos, squat videos, deadlift videos, etc. And I was getting ready to post one. And I just had this deep thought, like, you know, that the thing that I was about to talk about in that video, that's, I think it was a squat video, was the first one. I was like, wow, you know, that really correlates to this other thing that's been going on. And I was like, why don't I just say that? And so I don't think I even called it Meathead Monday. It was like Lifter Life Lessons or something like that.
Ooh, look at you. Okay.
And I, you know, I just put it, I was like, you know what? Everything in the gym correlates to life. Like it was that domino effect. And I started thinking about other things, you know, different aspects of training, different modalities and all kinds of things. And the more I thought about it, I was like, dude, that totally can be taken out into the rest of my life. So I think it was about a process of a month where I started turning it into, it was every Monday and it was just Meathead Monday. And in the beginning, it was just all my lifting videos. And I just, you know, went deep on the caption and it was like this long. And, you know, it resonated. People were reading it and they started talking to me in DMs and, of course, in real life, because most of my following at the time was in real, not that I have like millions of people, but now there are more online people than there are real life people. But at the time, you know, people would come up to me after class or, you know, people that I interact with at the gym and they're like, I saw that video. Oh my gosh. Right. And they connected this and this and they were like, whoa. And I was like, gosh, this is really going somewhere with, you know, with people. I should keep this going. And I loved the way that they reacted to the lifting side of it and not just the life side of it. It kind of, you know, lifting for somebody, for especially for women who don't lift, it's so, they feel so intimidated by it because it's a new environment. They're not comfortable. They've never done it before. Everyone in the gym is so big and so loud, right? So they feel a little intimidated and it took a lot of that off as they were talking to me. And I was like, wow, if I can take that fear out of it and if I can show people that meatheads aren't a bunch of dummies, you know, there's a lot of mentality that goes into it. I take some of the stigma away. That means I get more women in the gym. That means I put more bars into more women's hands. And so that was the catalyst for that. And over time, I started doing like a little bit more. I started going beyond. It still all comes back. I correlate almost everything to fitness because that's just been my life for, you know, the past 10 plus years.
Right. And you said, I think you said it perfectly earlier, fitness and potential. But like you were saying potential, right? You were saying potential multiple times. And that's when like that this like epiphany came to me. We've all thought about it, but fitness is potential. You start in the fitness industry, and I actually mentioned this in last week's podcast when we had you know, our Arte brother Ron Reed on, that I believe a lot of successful entrepreneurs at one point or another made their way through the fitness industry. Maybe they're still not in the fitness industry. They've transitioned into clothing and consulting, whatever, right? But it starts off with their fitness. Because I think like when we transform our own physical bodies in the beginning, it shows us and proves to us what our real potential is. And when we're like, holy crap, I can do so much more. Now I can help other people do the same. So everyone has that common, that least common denominator of fitness being an important piece of their life. I have not met someone who is great or someone bound to be great who does not have a fitness routine or some kind of, you know, physical routine. It's not even like I'm trying to build mass. It's not even I'm trying to cut down. A lot of these now is like I am disciplining myself.
Oh, yeah.
The building mass and cutting down is a byproduct of the discipline.
Right. I would say that it's like people laugh when I correlate these two things, but lifting is a lot like yoga in that it's controlling multiple different aspects of the body, right? And the origin of yoga, not the Western view that most of us see now, but the origin of yoga is it's moving meditation. It's if I have to focus here and here and here, and you know, if you have to put so many points of focus throughout your body to achieve the pose that you're after, your mind can't be running around doing other things because you are directing it. And wouldn't you say lifting is the same, right? Especially if you're going into heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. mind muscle connection? Are my feet planted? Am I engaging the way I need to? Are the muscles that I need strong enough to complete what I'm about to try? There are so many points of focus for you to do lifting safely that in a way it's just another form of yoga. Controlling the body is controlling the mind. So that's why, like, 75 hard, right? We've both done that. It's such a big shift in your mindset, because when you can control yourself, you're not trying to control everything else. You understand that your greatest power is right here. And that's what fitness does. Like, what I look for when I'm coaching a woman, or I've coached a few men, there's still that dichotomy where it's harder for a man to learn from a woman. And that's, I don't fight it. I just accept it. So most of who I coach is women. And I discovered this actually in teaching group fitness classes. You know, new people come into the gym and they start in the back of the class. And I noticed this first in teaching Zumba. Zumba is very, you know, it's hip dominant, it's Latin, it's very central movement. They start in the back of their class. And they're kind of like, you know, they're very closed. And once they get comfortable a little bit, maybe they move a row or two forward.
My shoulder's going, I can't control it.
A little bigger. And it's a slow process. And watching it happen, it's beautiful. They slowly start coming closer to you. Their movements get bigger. They get more comfortable. And there comes a time when you see that the light in their eyes has changed, right? They're comfortable with it. They feel good inside of their body. When you're training someone, when you're coaching someone, that same thing happens, but it's a little bit, it's expressed a little differently. It's when they hit a certain lift successfully, right? They hit a certain goal. They have, you know, measurements that they're after, or they've got strength that they want to chase. There's something that they accomplish it. And that little light goes on where they go, man, what else could I do? Right. And when you see that little light come on, that's when it starts to spread to the rest of their life. That's where that gateway gets opened from fitness into, well, I've been trying this other thing and, you know, well, okay, so I changed my lifting like this. So maybe if I change this, if I change this little aspect, because they've learned over here, well, I had to shift my weight, you know, or I had to change my technique. So they go, okay, maybe if I change this a little bit, and then suddenly being a meathead brought them business success, or a better relationship, or a connection with their kids.
That's so powerful.
That makes me emotional. When I see that for somebody, that's everything.
That's powerful stuff. That's very powerful stuff. I've been in this fitness industry for a long time. You know, I've been in through the highs and the lows of them all. And I have never heard anyone correlate weightlifting and yoga the way you just did. And I didn't know, I'm not a yoga, I've done it a few times and, you know, definitely not sexy, definitely not. But the whole controlling your body and the mind muscle connection, it's like yoga will say controlling your body. Meatheads will say it's mind-muscle connection, but it's the same shit.
It is.
I love that. And it really does have so many correlations in life. Man, oh my gosh, I could talk to you forever. And everyone's probably listening right now kind of like, I hope for all you guys that listen to this, I hope you're not driving right now. If you are, just be careful. You're going to want to re-listen to a lot of the content that we were just talking about, because there was so much gold in Keikua's lessons. I want to take some time before we wrap up and give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about your book. I love that you are branching out there, as am I, you know, kind of in stepping out of just the fitness industry, stepping out of the health and wellness, and just really creating this new field of your own. And I want to give you an opportunity to tell everyone on the Just Effort podcast, who is a majority women. So I know, like, there's a lot of women right now listening to you that are just feeling it And I love it. All my dudes, all my guys out there too are probably getting teary-eyed, if not more teary-eyed. but tell everyone a little bit about the book that you got coming out in the near future. Can I say that?
It's in the near future. It's I'm editing right now. And it's, of course, it's geared towards women, towards moms, but it will serve men if they're interested in it. And it's basically, I'm compiling everything that I've learned from myself, you know, through the trauma of, you know, the initial divorce and all the steps that I took, but they were very wandering, lost steps. And I understand that those are the steps that I was supposed to take because they're the ones that know where I'm at. But if I compile all of that, I can help someone get through all of those same things. And instead of it being, you know, 3, 5, 7, 10 years, I can help someone get there in a year or two, maybe even less, you know, if they're able to be dedicated to learning in a way that I didn't know how to be in the beginning. You know, you can compile everything and you can compress that time so that you get there faster. And you don't have to have come through a trauma to say, you know what, I could improve this area of my life. I could grow that area of my life, or I could develop myself. It doesn't have to come out of trauma. We can recognize our potential now. And that's what I want that book to do. So I'm in editing right now, a little bit of rewrites, and I'm going to estimate it'll probably come out in about a month and a half to 2 months.
That's exciting.
It is exciting. I'm overwhelmed by it myself sometimes, but yeah. I'm excited at the potential to reach out to more women that I can't touch one-on-one, that I can't interact, because I can't interact with everybody, but I'm excited about being able to put something out that will still help women, even that if I have no contact with them.
Man, I know that book. No, I mean, especially knowing the writer, right? I know the book is going to be filled with so much value. And it's basically, I know, like, once I get around to reading it, it's going to be just like, you're in my head and I'm having a conversation with you. And I'm really excited to read your book. Now, how can people get connected with you? What's your social media? I know you're on Instagram, but what's the best way to get connected with you?
I would say Instagram is where most commonly you could find me. Like you said, Fit Mommy, Happy Mommy, FitMami, Happy Mami. It's the Latin spelling. DMs on there are pretty quick. You can also find me on Facebook. I don't love Facebook as much, so I don't see those messages as quickly, but that works too.
Awesome. That's awesome. And if you can speak to that one woman right now, you don't have to say her name. I mean, you could if you want. That would be actually kind of interesting. But if you can just reach out to that one person who's listening to this right now, what is your big takeaway for them?
Self-love is not a selfish concept. It gets classified as selfish by people who are served when you empty yourself out. I want you to disregard that, and I want you to understand that you, if serving people is valuable to you, you can serve them so much better when you are well taken care of. When you're one of the ones that you serve, the other people that you serve will be more nourished with everything that you're able to give them. And beyond the fact that you have others to serve, even if you don't, if you're a single woman, you still deserve to be taken care of. And you are the person that should be taking care of yourself. The number one loyalty you should have in your life is to you. Even if you're a parent, knowing that, again, if you don't have your own water flowing, there's no waterfall for them to stand under. There's nothing but stagnation underneath. And that's not ever what we want to give to the ones that we love. And that includes ourselves. Self-love is the key to everything. When you learn how to recognize yourself, appreciate yourself, love yourself, the love that you give to others is going to grow exponentially.
Ooh, thank you so much. I mean, not just for the awesome ending fire line, but you made my job so much easier, because that's probably going to be the highlight. That last like 30, 45 seconds right there is going to be the highlight video. Like, I'm like, that's so freaking good. And it sums up this whole conversation perfectly. So Keikua, thank you so much. Thank you for being a great friend, a great sister. Thank you for just continuing to support me, the podcast, and sharing your love with the world. And I can't wait to share this episode with everybody else. Thank you for being on the show. All right, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. I just want to let you know, and I say it every week, how appreciative I am, how thankful I am for you to take the time to listen to this podcast, because I know there's a ton of other things you could be doing. There's a ton of other people you could be listening to, yet you continue to support and you continue to follow, which means so much to me. If you haven't already, please go ahead and leave us a positive review and rating on iTunes, because it helps us rank up and reach more people, because that's really what it's all about in the end, right? So I appreciate you guys. Have a great week. Have a great Friday. If you're not signed up for the newsletter, go ahead and sign up for that so you can get the updates every week straight to your inbox. Make it a little bit more easy, a little more convenient for you. But yeah, you guys have a great Friday, and I will see you next week. Thanks.